I found that there can be sometimes some misunderstanding about many of the roles, hierarchy of the Catholic Church, because there are so many different titles and different names, and it can be easily to be confused. So let's see if I can confuse you even more in the next 3 minutes. We have Father Dan, Father John, Father Jim. We refer to them as Father because each and every one of them is an ordained Catholic priest. We also can correctly refer to them as friar because they are a member of the Franciscan Order. Now, in that world of the Franciscan Order, there are brothers and there are priests, but all in communion in the community are referred to as friar. We good so far? Because it's going to get bad. I'm a deacon. I've been ordained. 2001, I was ordained at the Cathedral of Mary Our Queen in Baltimore, Maryland, by William Cardinal Keeler. Began the ceremony as all ordinations do, face down on the floor, showing our humility and obedience to God Himself. But then, I have kids. Right? Don and I have been married 42 years, 4 children, 9 grandchildren, so that makes me a father. Huh? Oh, we ain't there yet. Does anyone know what the mascot of the Catholic University of America is? Cardinal. Guess what? I'm a cardinal. So I am a deacon, a father, and a cardinal. Y'all figure it out later. Yes, I am an alumni of the Catholic University of America. I did my postgraduate work there. I got my doctorate in ministry with a specialization in liturgy and sacramental theology in 2013, so it's been 10 years now. So today is the collection for the Catholic University of America. I just ask you to please, as with most other collections, continue to spread your generosity. I got a little bit of a tuition savings because those of us in the Doctor of Ministry program, it's a foregone conclusion that all of us are working in the church. So none of us have the money to pay for a full education. So there's always some scholarship money available for each of us. We still had to pay a bit of the portion of the tuition. So again, I thank you just for your generosity. And today's bulletin also has a flyer in there speaking about the Diocesan Annual Appeal, which we'll be speaking more of over the next couple of weeks. These are some funds that go to fund, we don't want to call them pet projects, not special projects. They're just things that need to be done in the church that we want to pay special attention to and make sure they have the funding that they need, right? So stewardship and development initiatives, respect life ministry, Catholic schools and tuition assistance. And then again, two of those fields that are very important in the formation of men for orders, $205,000 is earmarked for seminarians, so that they can go to one of several seminaries that they will need to go to understand their spiritual theological formation. And of course, there's another $110,000 allocated to the formation of men who are going into the permanent diaconate. Right now, we've got 2 guys in formation who will be ordained in August of next year. 2 years behind them, there are 8 guys. 2 years behind them are 9 guys. So there's a good pipeline of men looking for ordination to the diaconate, and not so many for priesthood. So again, we need workers in the vineyard. Please be sure to be praying for vocations to all of the religious in your daily prayers. So today, we hear from this first reading from Ezekiel, be watchmen. No, I am not recruiting for the Church of Latter-day Saints, nor the Mormons, who have this book called The Watchtower. But rather, we're called to be watchmen. And what are we supposed to be watching for? We're supposed to be helping our brothers and sisters. So, you're with a group of friends, you're walking down the street, and there is a pothole. Most of us would say, look out for the hole. Or walking with someone, walking with my mom, walking with an older adult, let's look out, there's a curb, be sure you're careful stepping up. That's being a watchman, looking out for the other. In a church context, we take that to look at not only just the physical dangers in the world around us, but what danger is that individual looking toward, looking at, thinking about in their spiritual life. Right? Now, I wouldn't do that if I were you. Or, yeah, I know you said you were going to play golf and you finally got a time, but Sunday morning you usually go to church. Now, in the society of ours today, we might not want to do that. We might not want to provide any fraternal correction. It's never designed to be a scolding. It is not that parent-to-child discussion. I told you not to do that. How dare you? What do you... Right? Not that at all. But rather, in the spirit of friendship, collegiality, fraternity, we would want to help those individuals amongst us. Just before Mass, someone came up to me and said, Deacon Kevin, I'm a little concerned that one of the Patton ministers, after the distribution of Holy Communion, where they did such a wonderful job holding the Patton flat, held it up against their chest as they brought it up to the altar to be purified. Well, we just defeated the purpose. I have to say I'm surprised at the amount of particulate matter we see on a Patton after communion. I had no idea that much of the Blessed Sacrament was falling to the ground. With the Pattons now, we're collecting some of it. But then when you turn the Patton vertical, and I said, guess what I said? Did you say anything? Oh, no. And I ask them, because that's what I do sometimes, because I can be a jerk. What was today's gospel about? Well, correcting your brother. And? Will you fulfill the words of Holy Scripture that you just heard? You could just hear the wheels locking up on that discussion. Why not? Now, it doesn't have to be a scolding. It doesn't have to be a chastisement. It just might be, hey, you know, aren't we using the Pattons to make sure we catch stuff? Should we keep them flat? I mean, we can ask nicely. We can hold each other accountable in that regard. We can help each other out from falling into the pit in front of us. But will we? Are we too politically correct? Are we so worried about wokeness? Are we so concerned with getting sued or whatever that we're not willing to look out for the other in spiritual matters? Again, look out for the pothole. There's a curb ahead. There's wet paint on the wall. We'll do that all day long. But will we help our brothers and sisters get to the kingdom? Will we help them see the pitfalls in their own life? In another scripture verse, it's, you know, be wary of the plank in your own eye before you try and take the splinter out of your brother's eye. And this is what we are called to do as Christians. All of us, because all of us that are baptized, was anointed into the priestly ministry of Jesus Christ as priest, prophet, and king. Prophet. To be able to say what is true, what is real. To be able to say with absolutely total conviction in your heart, no, I go to church at St. Andrew on Sunday. I am not available to do that thing because I go to church, because it's important to me to be in relationship with my Lord and Savior. It's important for me to give thanks and gratitude for what he did for me on the cross. It's important for me to thank him for the gifts I've received and pray for the things I think I need. Paul reminds us in his letter to the Romans of who again we are to be and what we are supposed to be doing. And he runs through the very simple understanding of the Ten Commandments. Paul studied theology, philosophy from one of the greats, Gamaliel. He knew the Jewish scriptures. He knew them well. So for him to spout out the Ten Commandments would be no big deal. Today, I wonder how many of us, you know, can remember, you know, the Second Commandment from the Ninth Commandment. We know there's a bunch of rules out there. But how can you make sure you're following them if you don't know what the rules are? Right? So Paul is reminding the Romans the obvious things. Don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't covet. And that's well and fine. But I think the last line of today's reading is the most important. Love is the fulfillment of the law. You're not going to steal from someone you love. You're not going to steal from someone you care about. You're going to respect your vow that you took at the altar to your spouse so you won't stray from the marriage relationship. If we love one another, if we have a relationship with one another, we care for one another. And going back to the first reading, the three of them tie in so well to each other this week, you're going to watch out for them. You're going to be on alert to make sure that they are on the path with you. They are journeying with you. How would it feel if you were going on a hike with 6 or 8, 10 close friends, and by the time you got halfway up, half of them were gone because they fell off the ledge. And by the time you reached 15 feet from the summit, you're alone because you didn't bother to tell anybody that don't lock into that carabiner, it's loose. Now, we would share that information. We would help each other on this trek, on this quest. But where are we willing to share with one another on our journey to the kingdom? We're all pilgrims. We're all heading the same way. All of us are on different places on that journey, and that's okay. But are you looking to the person to your left, to your right, the one behind you? And are you saying, look out for, be wary of? That one will come out and get you if you're not paying attention. Yeah, you really ought to. Come with me at a Mass on Sunday. I'll even pick you up. I'm going to go to confession Saturday afternoon. Do you want to go with me? Leave out the part of, I know what a horrible person you are. You need to go. Leave that part off. Just the request. Can I take you with me? Can you journey with me? Can you partner with me? Can you be my companion on these steps that we're going to take together? Because if we're all working together to build up the body of Christ on this earth, this place is going to be better. Because right now, all too many people are off in their own different and divergent directions. Well, this is okay, and that's okay, and everything is okay. No, everything is not okay. There are norms. There are standards. For some strange reason, nobody ever wants to fight about gravity. If you drop it, it will fall. But we'll fight about everything else in science. Who is, who isn't, what is, what isn't. Because too many people are afraid to recognize God's sovereignty. Too afraid to say, there is a plan. I might not get it all. And this weekend is one of those weekends when most of us will be able to demonstrate that we are not willing to abide by somebody else's plan as we scream and yell at the television during the football game. You should have run that, everybody, and the idiot could have seen you. Coach has got a plan. Coach is following his plan. God has a plan. All the team members are expected to do what is asked of them to fulfill the plan the coach has put in place. Or if the quarterback is calling the play, he certainly expects if the play is a pass that there's going to be somebody down there somewhere to catch that football he's about to throw downfield. They're going to follow the plan. How challenging would it be in the huddle if each member walked out and said, cute idea, I don't like it, I'm going to do my own thing. Hike, I'm going to get a beer. No. Those 11 people on that team at that time are going to do what's asked of them. How about us? Are we doing what is asked of us? Are we willing to forgive? That's another big piece of this. Journeying with the other, do you want to journey with someone on a 100-mile trek if you two won't talk to each other? Of course not. You want good friends, you want companions, you want conversation while you're going on that big long walk. So Jesus asks us, if your brother sins against you, tell him his fault. And with whom? Between the two of you. And we use adult language. Should start somewhere in the beginning with I was hurt when you said. I really didn't appreciate it when you. I would like it in the future if you would not. That's a conversation. We all have been on the other end of that. You silly person, how dumb are you? You no. We need to help each other. We need to make those corrections with each other. If there's a mistake, do it in good Christian charity, a fraternal correction. Then he says, if the two of you can't work it out, maybe you need to bring in some others. This is a juridic idea, something that we would think of in court, right? In a courtroom, someone is accused of something, the prosecuting attorney will bring in 2, 3, 4, 15 witnesses that said, I saw them do this thing. That some, hopefully, something can arrive that amounts to justice. And then they say, bring it to the church. I told Father Dan that I'd just tell you, everybody, that was his job. If you have any complaints, just bring them straight to Father Dan. It's not so much bring it to a person. It's bring it to the church to pray on it, to sit with Jesus in quiet adoration, to try and think through how this scenario can be bettered, to look for the way that God can inspire you to do the right thing in these situations. And sometimes it's very tough, not saying that it's not. Lord, how will I talk to that person about this thing? Give me the words. Help me. Now, if you've done all the right things and they still want no part of you, you've done the right thing. You've done what's asked of you according to the precepts of the law and of the church. Doesn't mean you dismiss them, but rather as you might a Gentile or a tax collector. No, thank you. Appreciate it, but no. I'll go on my way. And then here, in this gospel reading, just a few weeks ago, we were in Matthew, 16th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus pulled Peter aside and was standing up on the north end of the Sea of Galilee, Tabitha area up by Capernaum, and there's a church built on the spot where this conversation occurred from Matthew 16, where Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock. And the spot, the geographic spot where we believe that was said, was a rocky area. You've seen these kinds of pictures. Maybe you've been at these places. Just imagine, if you will, that the floor of the church here, if out there is all the lake, and then where the sanctuary is here, the wooden area, is just rocks. And they just come right up out of the sand. And Jesus is standing up there, and it's Peter, you are a rock. As tough as this is, that's how tough you are. You're going to lead the church. And he said only to Peter at that moment, whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain are retained. Now, Jesus repeats that exact same wording here in the 18th chapter of Matthew's gospel, and he's speaking to all of the apostles. So in true, excellent leadership and management form, Jesus informs the new CEO of his responsibilities and then talks to the staff. Peter, who will be the first pope, the apostles, who will be the first bishops, the priests going out into the world, whose sins you forgive are forgiven. It's mentioned one other place in the Gospels, and that's in John's Gospel. on the evening of the resurrection, where Jesus appears in the upper room, locked, where the apostles were gathered for fear of the Jews. He stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." He breathed on them, said, whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Three times in the Gospels, Jesus tells the apostles, three for Peter, two for the other guys, tells them that they have this power. I don't understand how our brothers and sisters in the faith, the Protestants, don't get the connection. But sometimes our Protestant brothers and sisters completely ignore the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, the Bread of Life Discourses, where Jesus tells us he is food. After all, he was born in the town of Bethlehem, which translated into English means house of bread. As soon as he was born, Jesus was laid in a manger, which is a feeding trough. It's kind of clear, I'm here as your food. Be that as it may, we have the opportunity that when we have wronged the other, to go to the sacrament of reconciliation. So many folks I know, I've talked to them, are afraid to go. Well, Father's not going to like me. No, that's not the way it works. Father has heard confessions. We are blessed. All three of our priests have been priests for decades. They've heard lots and lots and lots and lots. Go ahead, try to impress them. Don't go out and do anything deliberately to try to impress them, not that at all. But they've heard it before. And what are you admitting? You're admitting something to the priest who's acting in the person of Christ, right? So you're talking to Christ about the thing that you did, that since we believe that God is everywhere, God was there when you did that thing. You're just owning up to it. You're just willing to say that I did that thing that God saw me do, that Jesus saw me do, and ask for forgiveness. And then get the grace from the sacrament. That's the part so many folks forget. You're getting additional grace. If we are playing a video game, you're getting more points or more tokens, however you need to think of it. And you're amassing these tokens, you're amassing this grace that continues to help you do as you ought as a disciple of Jesus Christ. So I thought leaving today, after you're going to be very generous to the Catholic University of America, go Cardinals, is it, what am I doing to help my brother and sister on the journey? And am I willing to take a fraternal correction if it's offered to me in the name of God and with all Christian charity? You don't want to be in heaven alone. Bring some folks with you. Bring your family, parents, bring your kids, couples, bring your spouse. Help them. Let us all work together in unity and communion on this journey to the kingdom.